WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively no longer in the studio. My friends from Window Nation, they put my windows in today. It's 100 degrees out. So I'm wearing the Window Nation hat. We got pictures. Things will be happening. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'm giving away the $10,000 scratch-offs out here and our friends at Goodwill. This is the truck. This is not the truck going by. We're out on 140. Do they call this like Westminster Pike? Like, are we at the front of that? I don't know where we are. We're at Full Moon Pub. I've been out here many times. I interviewed Todd Heap over there. But today is going to be fun because we're going to be talking about horse country with horse experts. This guy, for better or worse, taught me everything I've ever known and forgotten about horse racing. You and Charlie Lamb, little bit of Rich Petro, little bit. Clem Florio helped me out a lot.
Notice they're all dead.
The experts.
Well, you're alive, so you're here. You're going to be here to talk about all of them. I could throw Charlie Eckman and Chris
Petro
Thomas.
Petro is still alive.
Petro is alive.
Tell him I said hello.
Ross Pettacorn is here.
I thought he was dead.
Marjorie Hampson, who was my assistant here all summer long, said, I'm going to call Ross Pettacorn, and we're going to talk about how horses are heritage. And I can't even read the Maryland Horse Industry Board card because he gave me the French side. He is the executive director, big shot, at the Maryland horse industry. He is
Office of one, maybe two.
Come on, man. You were like a real mentor to me.
He's
do you want to
shot.
Tell the audience how we met, or do you want me to make up my side of the story?
You make up your side of the story, because
I was employed by the Baltimore Evening Sun when I was 17 years old, and I worked in the sports department doing the Agate, which was the scoreboard page. And I had all sorts of responsibilities that I went through last year. I wrote the fishing report for Bill Burton when he was on vacation. Jack Gibbons sent me to women's golf, and I didn't even know anything about golf. But horse racing I learned a little bit about because I had fun with horse racing. I went out to Bowie. I went to Pimlico. I went to Laurel, as Coach Ekman would say.
Right.
And you were our horse racing guy.
There.
And every night he would call me and give me the picks. I'd have to put them in. If he was someplace out on the farm where the couplers didn't work for the Radio Shack, remember that?
Yeah,
little TRS-80, the Trash 80, that I had to take his dictation. So when there was breaking news, he would call me, and I'd have to sit there and, like, type everything he would tell me with my missing finger.
Oh, no.
And Marjorie, you wondered if I knew Ross Pettacore. Come on.
Those were the days.
I love you, Ross. How are you?
I remember I was punished. I had to work and do my handicapping in the office because I kept missing deadlines.
Surprise, surprise.
Because I worked in there with Kevin Cowherd.
Sure.
Linnell Smith, Sylvia Badger, and we would laugh so hard. Even when I had to work in the office, I missed the deadline. But I missed one deadline one time because my favorite horse had died, and we had to bury him. And I called up the editor. Was it Jack Gibbons?
Jack, yes.
Yeah. And said, I'm sorry, but I'm going to be late. I've got to bury my dead horse. And he put that on as one of the 5 top 10 excuses in the history of the Sun Papers for missing your deadline.
Oh, my.
I think I needed a night off because I was at Hammerjacks too late or whatever.
Right.
Cricket, it is a pleasure to have you here. Cricket Goodall is the executive director of the, what should I say, Maryland Million Maryland Horse Breeders Association.
I am. Yes, I am.
All right. I mean, that's a big title there. We're in Reisterstown, and when I'm doing the neighborhood tour, and this is really a tribute to our friends at the Lottery and Goodwill and Window Nation, our friends at Restaurant Association of Maryland, for sponsoring this, is when I go neighborhood to neighborhood, I want to, like, feature neighborhoods. We're going to talk about Main Street, Reisterstown. We're probably, before it's all going to get over with, we'll be over at the Harriman House and at other places. I've known John over there forever. But we like taking the tour around. And, Ross, I saw you in the governor's tent at Pimlico Preakness about 3-4 years ago, and you're with Stuart Pittman, who has been on the show now. He's one of the first crab kicks I had at G&M because he's in Anne Arundel County, right on the border.
Yep.
And you told me you were doing this, right? And, you know, I don't get the paper no more, as they would say, right?
Right.
Well, tell me about your involvement in this, because, I mean, I've known you 36, 37 years. I've always known you to be a horseman's horse. I mean, I'm not sure you love newspapers or journalism or sports, but I knew you loved horses.
Right.
And I think that was how you came at it honest in however long. I mean, how many years were you at this on?
18.
I was going to say 20.
Gosh.
I figured it was like that, right?
Close
but
to
you've
20.
Been gone longer than me. I've been gone,
I've been gone like since 94, 30 years.
92. I left, so you stayed a little longer than me. it always felt to me like you had another hustle. You had a love of horses, and you had a thing going on outside of being a sports writer or a handicapper.
Well, I had my own farm.
Yeah.
And had my own horses and all of that sort of stuff. They couldn't race or compete in my name, so they ran in my wife's name. Or
how many horses did you have in that era? I knew you from 86 to about 92. I mean, that wasn't the glory era of racing, but it was still good. I mean, Triple Crown was serious.
Pretty good.
During that period, I had over 100 horses at different times.
That's why
not all at one time, but
that's why everybody knows him. He's
that's why we run claimers, right? Literally,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
But everybody in the horse business, not just racing, that's why he's so good at his job doing what he does now, because he's a great ambassador for all kinds.
We did everything. We bred horses. We showed them. We race them.
So he's got experience with all that, which is
sold him as a
veteran. You would always say to me, "Come on out to the farm."
Yeah,
Marjorie, I'm from Dundalk. Tell him how I feel about farms. I mean, I just wasn't something that appealed to me when I was 17, 18, 19. The racing did.
Right.
It wasn't the gambling for me. It really wasn't. It was more about being out at the track that I had never been to. My dad never gambled, right? So my dad had never taken me to the track. So it was a little bit like that. I went to concerts and, you know, saw women going into the men's room at the Capitals. I saw things before my time. You know what I mean? So, but horse racing for me wasn't about gambling or any of that. It was about the sports section that I worked at, people like you being there, and me wanting to learn a little bit more about it. That when, you know, when Bagley would say, we got the eighth race out at Pimlico tonight, the exacta. I didn't even know what an exacta was. And then about the form.
Right.
Marty McGee took me under his wing.
Yeah, right.
Marty comes on all the time.
Oh, you're kidding.
So does Dick Girardi. I mean, I do a lot with racing, especially Preakness Week, because I'm still glued to that. That's the third Saturday of May. It comes back. It was in the papers, the jockeys, the horses, and whether it's D. Wayne or Zito. So I did fall into it. And for 31 years on the radio, I turned the whole station over to Kenny Mayne and to Donna Brothers.
Nice.
And
you know,
and any of these, Lafitte Pinkai. I love talking about racing that one week a year, but y'all live it, man.
There's so many characters, and they're still in it. And they, you know, and I am loving farms, because the people I work for breed these horses that race. And there are so many beautiful farms in Maryland that we're going to have to get you actually right down the road from here. Sagamore Farm, probably our most iconic thoroughbred farm, is right down the road from where we are right now.
I've been invited to Sagamore by everybody but Plank, and I've never been there. And, like, literally, I know where it is. I know the legend. I know the whiskey.
That's newer.
Well, I mean, Kevin Plank and Under Armour being involved in this, and obviously going back to the DeFrancis family,
right,
and this state and how it's important to the state, and it's part of the
heritage
of the state. And I wore the Keep the Preakness in Baltimore pins when the O'Malleys were handing them out. I think I had it on when I saw you a couple years ago. I talk about the Preakness and saving that all the time. You guys are in a whole different level.
Well, you did
level.
A good job. It has been.
I've saved it.
You saved it.
Thank you, Nestor.
That is something that comes back every year. But every day, horses are being born, bred.
Exactly.
Veterinarians, the industry, all of that.
Every county.
And 30,000 jobs.
Yeah, and Annie Arundel is a good, you know, Montgomery, Prince George's, all these counties around Washington that people don't think there are a lot of horses. There are lots and lots, not just
get
race horses.
Get off 95, you'll see them, right?
Yeah, show horses, dressage horses, polo. Ross has interactions with all those people because they interact with the Maryland horse industry.
We license 800 lesson barns.
Which is amazing.
People take lessons.
So little kids growing up to love horses.
There are only 200 dairy farms left in
Maryland. My wife rode a horse as a child. She hasn't been on one in a long time. Everyone I know who owns a horse, Billick owned horses, has it, you,
yeah,
always wanting to get her out of here. We'll get her on a horse. Well, my wife sees this, she's going to want to get back on a horse because she...
Well, and during COVID, which is really interesting, when everything shut down and you needed to self-distance and all that, well, riding stables...
grew about 10%.
Yeah, because you could be outdoors.
Like golf.
And you could be, you could be self-distanced. So a lot of kids got involved.
Just like the state parks. I mean, they had record attendance during COVID.
That's why I did the Crab Cake Tour last year in August, because I felt like I had been trapped in my own state.
You could eat a crab cake and ride a horse at the same time.
No,
at a state park.
See, you'll laugh at me and make fun of me and stuff, but like I drove to Deep Creek last year for the first time in my life now.
Wow.
So we're going back again next week because we loved it, right?
Yeah,
I had never spent any time in downtown Frederick. I'd gone for a Keys game and,
right. You
know, and I know it was a foodie place and whatever, but I didn't know how nice it was going to be. My wife and I are spending Friday night in Frederick. So seeing places around the state, but everywhere we went, as I said to the mayor of Salisbury flippantly last year, sorry, Mayor, I never really stopped in Salisbury. Like, I was on the way to the beach, We go to the bathroom, you know, maybe load some ice or beer or whatever we were doing going to the beach. But seeing things off the state, there's nowhere you're going to go without seeing horses in this state.
Absolutely.
Nowhere.
That's why the tours, you know, whatever it is, wine tour, ice cream tour, crab cake tour.
They all have a horse ride next door.
Well, you know, they right. do. And we have had horse farm tours, but you can see them wherever you go throughout the
state.
We've
got
them
from downtown Baltimore. We have 30 horses stabled in downtown Baltimore.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Between the three horses left at the Baltimore Police by the B&O Train Museum. We've got three Arabber stables, all in a quarter.
Can you talk about the Arabbers and those animals?
Because
I've had a lot of people on social media. Like, I grew up on Bank Street in Dundalk,
right.
And the Arabbers came down my alley.
Really? Wow.
Every couple days in the summer, they ring the bell,
right?
And they come down, and my parents would come out, buy bananas, you buy strawberries. We buy the stuff that my parents wouldn't buy in a grocery store, quite frankly. We'd buy from the Arabbers.
Right.
So I love
there
that tradition.
There are three Arabber stables left.
Okay, and tell us about these animals, because there's always concern when I hear it of people on the street about the animals.
Well, they're horses. The Arabbers do some of this business still, selling the fruit and vegetables. But what they really are little neighborhood horse centers in the middle of Baltimore, where kids go and hang out. We have the Carlton Street Stable right down by the B&O Train Museum. They've built a riding ring there. They give lessons to kids there to ride there. They learn about horses. We just sent one of the young ladies to blacksmith school out in Oklahoma.
Wow.
And she got her farrier's degree, and she now can shoe horses. I mean, so that program does them. We have Miss Dorothy. She's about 2 miles up. They're all on that west side of Baltimore and the west side of Martin Luther King. And they go up all the way to the Fremont stable.
Everyone loves horses.
It's such a good connection.
They have 15 horses up there.
Yeah,
and he has carriages. He does funerals. He does weddings. He does pony rides. James Chase. He has a wonderful stable up there.
So my son told me a couple weeks ago.
We're working with all of them.
A couple weeks ago, my son said there was a carriage ride through the neighborhood that I grew up in. He thought it might have been an Arabber, but it was someone doing like a princess day for a child.
It's probably James.
Yeah.
Probably James. He's got like a...
And my daughter-in-law was wildly concerned about the horse, right? I mean, my son and his wife love animals. They were not shaming, but feeling like, what are they doing to that animal? And I keep thinking to myself, whoever's... has that animal has to love that animal, or that animal wouldn't be there right now.
Yeah,
they're gonna.
My son said they wanted to take water to it. I'm like, go ahead, but like, I would think if you're out with an animal more than a day or two, you'd figure out that taking care of the animal is the only way.
James is like a third generation horseman. He knows how to take care of his horses.
I want to get him on the show. Can we do that?
Oh my God, James is great.
I want James on the crab cake tour. Can we do that?
There you go,
Marjorie. Take a list on that. Marjorie's here. She's over there taking notes. Fixed her hair up. It's 148 degrees out here.
James,
you're melting.
James is live on Facebook every day doing something.
Let me reset here because I want to get all of the plugs right for you all, okay? Because somebody gave me a card in French. He is the director exécutif. Now, the Maryland Horse Industry Board. Ross has been my friend as long as I can remember, literally. You feel like family to me. It's so good to see you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we didn't recognize each other. I know I look
like
a little younger.
You're like the son I never had, Nestor.
Do you want me to let my hair down and show you that I listen to you?
Right.
Cricket Goodall is here. She's the executive director of the Maryland Horse Breeders Association. I want to go back with you. And originally I was going to do a whole hour with you, and then we're going to see. So
I just
want to like find out. What the hell happened to you? You left in 94. What were you doing? I mean, give me... You had a farm, you had horses. How do you go from there to seeing me in a lovely, you had a lovely pink seersucker, and I had the same thing with Stuart Pittman, and you're telling me about this, and I'm like, well, that's cool. When I come up to Reisterstown, I want to have you on the show, and here we are.
I tell you what I did.
Okay, what did you do?
So, my midlife crisis, I leave the sun in racing writing, and I thought, what am I going to do? So I decided to go back to school. I had my farm up in Frederick County, not far from Mount St. Mary's University in Emmitsburg. So I decided to go there and get an MBA.
In what?
Business.
Just business.
Masters of
That's
business.
That's it. That's it.
Because...
No, no.
Wait till you hear what he did.
I had no business. So I get up there.
And you're 45.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Okay.
And there are like a half a dozen priests there. They're all horse players. They all used to read my column in the Baltimore Sun. They all knew me as if they'd known me my whole life. I'd never
like
met
me.
Them before.
Okay.
Yeah. And Monsignor Klein was the greatest one. He went to the Chambersburg OTB parlor just about every night. He used to be president of the college.
Oh, my God.
He was retired. And he and I became great friends. And they said, you ought to work here. So I became publicity, worked in the PR department. And then they asked me to become a fundraiser. A director. I became director of major gifts and planned giving. I said,
I thought Jim Phelan was in charge of that.
He is a great asset to the Mount.
Oh, my God.
And I got to know Jim and his whole family really well. I said, I'm not Catholic. I don't play golf. I can't even balance my checkbook. How am I going to be a fundraising? They said, you're perfect for the job. And that's what I did for a couple of years. And then they started a campus in Frederick.
Where was your farm?
Newmarket, Maryland.
Between
Newmarket and Liberty
when
Camp.
He would drive in to the paper down to 501 North Calvert,
right.
It was like a day trip for you. Like, I'm coming in from the farm.
Right.
Well, that's just because he was running late. So he wanted to.
Can I say this about you? Like, there were 35 people maybe in our department, right? I was by far the youngest. The next youngest was probably Paul McMullen.
Right.
He looked 28, but he was 38. You know what I mean?
Right.
He was 20 years older than me probably at the time. So everybody there was in their 40s and 50s. And I was just this young...
Impressionable.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, like all
you
of that.
You and Rafael Alvarez.
He's better than me, but, you know, and I'll tell him
yeah,
that to his face. And Raphael's been on a show. David Simon running around.
Right.
All that back in the late 80s. But everybody there went to, like, journalism school. All I ever wanted to do was be a baseball writer and be Kevin Coward.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a columnist.
Right.
That's all I wanted to do, right? Write a column, chase baseball players around, do all that. You always had, like, a different life, right? Like, you always came in from a farm.
That's a good way to describe
it. You had another gig. He was moonlighting, as they called it, back in the 80s.
Yeah.
You didn't come to work because your horse died, right? I mean, nobody else had that excuse. Jack didn't deal with that. So, the fact that you did something else with your life besides die with a gold watch at the Sun that my dad wanted me to do in 1992 when I was 23,
right.
I thought I was going to die at the Sun with a gold watch
in
1992. That's all I ever wanted to do.
Right.
Literally. And so you went on this other path, and I guess education, you'd say, right?
Yes.
Working
definitely. And then became marketing director of their adult program in Frederick. We built that up from zero to 800 students. We had a great time there. And then I started a magazine called Maryland Life Magazine. Got back into journalism with two business partners from Frederick. That ran for about 5 or 6 years. I got to travel all over Maryland.
I think I knew that about
that
you.
Great,
I think I saw you during that period of time.
I became president of the Maryland Tourism Coalition. It was great. I got to know all the tourism people around the state. And
you are a people.
Like I said,
you were trapped in that newspaper talking about horses. With
there you go.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's an ambassador. I should have just named him ambassador.
I should have had you on a show a long time ago.
And then Stewart was then, this was about 2010, the magazine, you know, things were going to the internet. It was harder and harder to get advertising, yada, yada, yada. So Stewart said, you know, we need a director of the Maryland Horse Industry Board. He was president of the Horse Council.
Stewart
Pittman.
Pittman.
Okay.
He's now he's county executive for Anne Arundel County.
But he's a horse guy.
He's a horse guy. True and true. Through and through. Anyway, so I applied for that job, and I got it. And so I've been there the last 10 or 11 years. And we oversee the recreational riding side, not the racing side, but all the other stuff.
The other horses.
Yes. Of which is the majority of the horses in Maryland.
So how many horses are breeding in Maryland right now? How many alive horses are there? Population-wise.
100,000.
100,000 horses. And how many of them will ever race in a horse race?
Maybe 10 or 20,000.
Okay, so 80% of the other horses are the horses we see on the side of the road that are beautiful animals that are riding, showing, or
and
just
a lot of them
steeplechasing, fox
chasing. Retired thoroughbreds. After they finish racing at the track.
They go on to other
Maryland
things.
Maryland has all these other sports, and the thoroughbreds are used for all of that. They're used for showing, three-day eventing, dressage, polo, rodeo. Thoroughbreds that do barrel racing.
And right in this area where we are today, so historic Reisterstown, Glendon, right in the area around Sagamore, they're in a 5-mile loop. You have a horse, Nick's Go, a thoroughbred horse who was named the National Horse of the Year.
He was the champion thoroughbred of the world.
Of the world last year.
Nick's Go.
We have a
modern-day cigar.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. Okay.
He made $9 million.
And we have the steeplechasing Hall of Fame trainer, Jack Fisher, who was installed a year ago, I think, or a little. His farm is right down the road. We've got
15
the,
straight years leading steeplechase trainer in America.
We've got what Springsteen's daughter does, steeplechase? Is she
show jumping.
Okay.
She's at the Dublin Horse Show this weekend. We hope to get her here to the Washington Horse Show in October.
But it's just,
Jessica Springsteen.
You know, such a rich culture in all of these pockets in every county. Baltimore County, I just told you about, but you've got them in Harford County. You've got them, you know, in the other
counties. Chesapeake City
was a breeding.
Cecil County. Poolsville in Montgomery County. Yeah. Davidsonville.
All these places I had a crab cake last year.
Great.
Under the bridge in Chesapeake City, right?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
They have a horse parade there at Christmas now.
Yeah, which is great. That's really nice.
I got real horse people here. Stay another segment. You guys hanging out?
Sure.
Yep. Ross Petticord is here. Cricket Goodall is here. They are talking horses. We're at Full Moon Pub and Grill under the management of the Barretts folks. If you're familiar with Glendon Grill or Barretts in the Hunt Valley, John's
great.
Been so great to our family. We had our first crab cake of the tour last year with Harford County executive Barry Glasser.
And there you go.
Nice.
Who's more into like the sheep than the horses, but he's a farm guy.
He likes horses too.
And we had a delicious crab cake. We're going to have a crab cake in the last segment here. John Linderman's going to join us. Ross is going to stay with us. Cricket's going to stay with us. Well, we're going to talk some Main Street Reisterstown and talk about why it's in Reisterstown and all
we
that.
Are.
And the library.
Yeah, we're getting
the new
there.
Horse library.
Yeah.
And
see, I got so much to learn.
And Marilyn Million.
I
got stuff we need to talk about, sure.
Well, then we're going to break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about whatever she wants to talk about. The Maryland Horse Library, celebrating the past, nurturing our future. We're coming back. We're at Full Moon. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're scratching. We're playing. We got sports wagering happening right now. I talked a lot about Bingo World this week with Doug Lloyd. Also brought to you by, when I wear the visor outside for Window Nation, I don't look like I'm dealing cards. You know what I mean? I wore this with the Mayor Scott downtown, and it was a little shaded, and my eyes looked a little, and it looked like I was going to be dealing, and I don't want to look that way. Goodwill is also our sponsor. Big appreciation. Their jobs programs. Yeah, Lisa on a couple weeks ago talking about rock and roll belt buckles and shopping online, as well as our friends at the Restaurant Association of Maryland. Restaurant Week is the 16th to the 25th of September. I'll be talking about it all month. There'll be no food left for me to eat by the time we get there. Crab Cake Tour is alive and well. We're at Full Moon. We're going to have a crab cake out here. We're going to talk some horse racing. The locals, as they say, and make sure when you're coming down that hill of 140, break a little bit so you can get in here. All right? We don't want anybody getting run over. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. Stay tuned. We got some more with Ross and Cricket right after this.